There is an endless sea of podcasts about entrepreneurship. Talking about it, but not living it. We live it every day. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel, talking about real estate investing, but also encompassing general subjects in regards to owning small to medium-sized businesses, and of course, all the struggles that business owners must overcome to be successful. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, and this is Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Inside the Wolf's Den. My name is Sean Wolfswinkel, and I got my beautiful bride, Joni.
Hey, everyone.
And, of course, Brett Moses making this all happen. So hope everybody is having a great week, and how's your day going?
It's been great.
Yeah?
Always busy. Never a dull moment in this business, but
yes.
It's been a great week so far.
It's been good growth couple weeks, and challenging mm-hmm. for sure. We talk a
changes.
Lot about challenges.
Changes can happen quickly.
Yeah,
changes, it's been good though.
Changes bring challenges.
Absolutely.
Challenges bring changes. Anyway, so we're episode 14. We're going to be talking about guiding young entrepreneurs and just general advice for the younger generation. I think it's good. I think we, if you listen to episode, I think it's 1 and 2. You get a background on Joni and myself, and you know, we started when we were 19 years old as entrepreneurs and started our own business. So we have, I think, a little bit of some to talk about or some advice to give about starting young, starting out while you're in college
sure.
or out of high school. Mm-hmm. So, and we mentor and help, you know, a lot of people within our organization. I would say our organization's pretty youthful, and so they, I feel it's a sense of responsibility for Joni and I to mentor and help them. And, so we hope that this, you know, this podcast can also reach out to several people that are, you know, looking to get into business for themselves, or just the younger generation, maybe have a career, just got out of college, got out of high school and, you know, want to grow. And so we're just going to add some advice and some points of view that we would do or that, what to look out for and hopefully benefit you.
Yes, it should be fun.
Sounds good. So we have just some key points. We're going to go through them and then and just share why we think these are important. So number one is having passion for what you do, passion for life. But
you have to love what you do, right? Mm-hmm. I think that if you have passion, I feel like you're focused, you know, you're more focused, you have more energy, you're more attentive to your goals, and really you have less distractions and interruptions.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I'm speaking for myself, like I love business. I love creating businesses. I love, you know, asking questions. I'm a little awkward if you get to know me.
Really awkward. Yeah. Just I'm joking.
I've got that a few times. I'm a little awkward. No. And so, like, yeah, I might be at, you know, we go out to dinner or something or have a drink and, you know, we're talking, you know, I'm talking about somebody else, like, you know, and I'll find out they're in business or they're doing that. And I'll start asking questions and probably
way more questions. Yeah, you ask a lot of questions, yeah, and that's okay.
And probably getting a more involved or more deeper than they probably want. I don't keep it, like, how's the weather? What do you think about, you know, mm-hmm. the game last week? It's more I get into asking questions about the business.
Because you have passion.
Yeah, I love it.
For business, I agree. I mean, the same thing with, you know, I remember at 19 years old, wholesaling properties in college, I remember wanting to get out of class early to just go focus on real estate just because mm-hmm. we had a passion for it.
And a love for it. And we still love it. It's gotten a little old now, but I mean, like, I used to love going to Home Depot just to buy material and go shopping and then, you know, just the whole business aspect of seeing like a property go from, you know, a dilapidated, horrible thing to something beautiful, and just that process. It was, I love it. I love the smell of wood when I'd go into like a house that was just framed, or, you know, the smell of paint. And it sounds silly, but I love that. And so I think, you know, as you, I think as you're looking at what to do maybe in your career, or what maybe to do a side hustle, or, you know, just look for something that you're passionate in. It can be a hobby. It can be something that you're really good at. It could be you're very involved in sports and you turn that into some kind of coaching, mm-hmm. or, you know, or it could be, you know, you're skateboarding, you turn into some kind of skateboard passion and developing, you know, boards or something. I'm just throwing out things, but I'm saying like passions and drives that just you love, because when it's there, like the rough times and the ups and downs, you know, or the downs aren't as bad when it's a passion of yours. You're not quick to throw in the towel. You're not.
You're motivated to push through.
Yeah. And you love what mm-hmm. you do. You love it so much that you're not willing to quit.
Right.
And so I think that's very, very important. The second was mentors. So finding and getting a mentor to help you along the way and guide you.
I think in every stage of our career, we've had either a mentor or we had a, you know, business coach to really guide us in mapping out our goals, hold us accountable to our goals. Mm-hmm. I remember one of the very first properties that we bought, we were in Albuquerque at the time, and father of the seller it was a pre-foreclosure house. They were about to lose their house, and the seller, you know, the father called us, and his son had just committed suicide in the house, and, mm-hmm. and it was terrible. And like, I mean, 19, 20 years old, like you and I had no experience, you know, life experience in dealing with something with it like this. And our mentor really got us through this, not only, you know, helping us structure the deal, but you know, the support behind it, you know, dealing with the father, because it was a terrible situation.
Yeah. I mean, you just guiding you through the mental part of it, I guess. Yeah. Along with deal structuring and everything else, because you're dealing with people. And so you got to learn how to talk to them, mm-hmm. how to have sympathy, how to, you know, help them realize their next move in life after a very difficult situation.
Right. And,
and that's difficult for two 19-year-olds to figure out how to do that, because they have no life experience. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, we just starting out, we had, you know, we had to pay for a mentor. So you and I signed up for a coaching program we paid for it.
Yeah.
But that mentor liked us so much, liked our passion, took us under his wing. And, you know, I think we did 6 or 7 deals with him together and partnered with him on stuff. But that without that, I don't think we could have got off the ground.
No, I mean, without our mentors, we would have made a lot more mistakes than what we had made. So.
Absolutely. And even today, we still, you know, later in our career, we had another mentor that helped us guide us and helped us scale our company. And then even today, we have business coaches that come in mm-hmm. and mentor
us. We're involved in masterminds as well. I mean, we spend, you know, thousands of dollars each year just continuing to grow ourselves and taking us to that next level.
Absolutely. And we also have taken it even one step further, where we're having our business coach today mentor some of our leadership team and mentoring them. So.
Yeah.
And it takes it a step further, maybe that where Joni and I have shortcomings in teaching and helping, you know, our staff and our leadership mm-hmm. team. We bring in people that's what they do for a living, and they help elevate them,
right.
Which elevates our company.
Yeah, it helps for an outsider to, you know, come in and, you know, maybe what are some things that we're not seeing, or getting our team to think bigger, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. And that was a big one. Mm-hmm. I think last week was just seeing a bigger picture.
Right.
And then I think just, you know, you got to find somebody either by paying them or go work for them. I think if you're in a career or in an industry and you want to learn that industry, find somebody that you can go work for. It might be an internship. It might be just working with them, but then you're able to pick their brain. And the biggest thing I can say, though, is make sure you, rather than just take, figure out how you can add value to those people. Because I think if you if you are giving first and foremost to that person, they're more inclined to give back to you. So don't just, you know, with your hand out and all that, you're probably not going to get very far. But if you add value to that person, whether it's, somehow, adding value to their lives or helping them out, they're more inclined to support you and help you in your journey. So,
And maybe you're not even sure what your passions are. If you're, working for somebody and really getting in that field to learn more about that, to see if it's something that you're interested. I remember when you were going into engineering and you took that internship, and I mean, you got in there and you absolutely hated it. But had you have not done that internship, you probably wouldn't be in business today because you
would be scary if I went all the way through with it and then became an engineer and found out how bad it could have been. Not saying that engineers out there.
No, but bad. I mean that you quickly figured that that wasn't your passion.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, they were stressed out later in their careers. And it was like, no, that this I can't do this for the next 40 years. And so I knew right away it wasn't for me. But and that's when I switched careers and got into entrepreneurship and the rest took off. But yeah, I agree 100%. So you might find out you don't like it. So or you might find out that maybe you thought you liked that career or you had passion and it might take you somewhere else. So the next one is prepare to make sacrifices. I think this is a good one. So, and there's multiple areas to this. So, you got to make sacrifices up front and have delayed gratification. I think this is huge.
I mean, there's going to be ups and downs and instability. I remember, when we had closings lined up and then all of a sudden, something happens with the lender and bam, the deal falls through, but you were expecting that to close to pay your bills. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's really where the budgeting came into place. If you haven't heard, last week's episode with, budgeting and finances, listen to that. But I mean, I think, you're going to have ups and downs and you have to be prepared for that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, the biggest thing is live below your means, really watch your debt accumulation, and then invest aggressively up front while you're young. And then this is going to be what's going to make this so hard is as you if you just got out of college or out of high school and your friends are working, the biggest thing that's going to be the most challenging is you're going to see your peers growing and accumulating things while you're still here struggling. And it's going to make you question everything down to the core. So your friends are probably got out of college and you decided to start a business and they signed, they're engineers and they signed a nice contract with the company. They're getting paid. They're buying a house. They bought a new car. They just got married and you're sitting here struggling to put your business together, struggling with the sales, struggling working late at night because you can't afford that next employee. Right. And you're going to be, why am I doing all this? You're going to question it. And what I can say is up front is don't give into that. That know that the outcome or the light at the end of the tunnel or the end of the rainbow, it does pay off, but you're going to go through things that you're very uncomfortable.
And the lines between your personal life and your business life are going to blur, right? I mean, there was times where in college, especially where our friends were at fraternity parties, sorority parties, and we were out buying houses. I mean, we had a different vision than them. And, there's going to be times you're not going to be able to, you're going to have to say no more.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be hard and it's going to test you. But if you can sacrifice and endure and have that delayed gratification, it'll pay off. And so just try really hard, set a budget, live below your means, really watch your debt accumulation. I know it's going to be like, you're driving the old beat up car and your best buddy has a brand new car and you're like, you're going to be tempted to go get into debt and get that next car. But is that going to really get you where you need to be on your business or get you in financially where you need to be? Because the more you do up front when you're younger, the later in life, it's going to pay off tremendously, especially in investing, aggressively as well. So, there was a story with this, I think it's like three, I heard this somewhere that kind of, it was either a podcast or an article I read, but it gave an example of three siblings and, let's just say they graduated around the same time or very close to each other. So there's Jill, Bob, and Jim. So what was it, Bob?
Jill, Bob, and Jim.
So Bob, you know, gets out of college. They all went to college, gets a job. Bob starts investing, you know, when he was 25 years old. He started putting $5,000 away and started investing $5,000 a year. And by the time he was 60, he had like $1.2 million in retirement. Jill, you know, started a little bit later in her career. She started when she was 35 and started doing the same thing as Bob. So she started putting $5,000 away, you know, every year. And by the time she reached 60, she had like $600,000. But it was half of what Bob had because Bob started at 25. Mm-hmm. Then there was Jim. And Jim started investing when he was 25, but then stopped at 35. So he didn't go all the way to his 60. So he did the same amount, but he only went 10 years. But those 10 years he did at the very beginning, he had like $660,000 when he retired. And what the point behind it is, who do you want to be? You know, it is surprising that Jill, who started 10 years later than Bob and Jim, but you know, that Jim even had more than her because he started so early. So mm-hmm. he had time for that money to accumulate right. and grow interest and compound interest. But you know, of course you want to be Bob, who started young, was diligent, did it all the way to his 60 and the quit. So
yeah,
sure. Something to throwing out a
good point, Sean. Good,
thank you. Give me some feedback here. And then, and this is another tough one is, and Joni and I waited a little bit, is wait to have kids. As you're starting off, I know this is another tough one. And that this is, comes in crucial where you and your wife got to be on the same page. Yeah. So when you're young, be very selective on your spouse, because it's going to be, you guys got to be on the same page. Mm-hmm. If you're thinking you're going to get into business or you want to get ahead in your career early, it's going to take sacrifices, a lot of work, and make sure she's on board with that. And so there, I would and make sure you guys are on board with waiting maybe to have kids.
Yeah,
so.
And have those difficult conversations now as opposed to later.
Yeah, make sure you have them before you get mm-hmm. married, for sure. So, I mean, we waited 7 years to have kids after we got married. And I think that was crucial because it allowed you and I to have that freedom to work late, to not have the extra expense and the sacrifice. You know, and I didn't want to sacrifice. I wanted to, once I had the kids, I wanted to be ready to have them and be able to give them that time, even though it took a little while, even after we had them, to fully devote and set some restrictions. But I think that that was crucial to wait.
I mean, if you can wait, I mean, there's be situations right now where, you know, young entrepreneurs already have a family and that's okay as well. You know, you still can
sacrifice and make it.
Right.
I'm not saying, I'm just saying if you have the opportunity.
Yeah, if you have the opportunity, absolutely.
Yeah. And then I think this is huge. And I heard if you haven't, Google Arnold Schwarzenegger. He has a video on having no plan B. And I think this is, it's a great video. So watch it. It's on YouTube. But he talked about how one of the biggest pieces of advice he has for like younger generations is have no plan B. And he never did. He said, I went in. Because if you have a plan B, you're more inclined to, when things get tough or you can always fall back on plan B.
Right.
Or it's a mindset thing or a focus that if you start focusing on your plan B, well, it takes your energy and your focus away from plan A.
Right.
And all of a sudden, like plan A starts to phase. But if you only have plan A and there's nothing else to fall on or to fall back on, I mean, you're going to make plan A work.
Yep.
And I think that's huge.
For us, I think that's what's made us successful is, I mean, we didn't have a plan B. I mean, it's, you know, we didn't have anything else to fall back on, right?
Yeah. Any business we start. And that's probably been the bigger challenge to starting newer business, like, you know, the Mr. Rooter and all that lately. It's like, well, I don't need Mr. Rooter to succeed in order for me to maintain my lifestyle.
Right.
So it causes a bigger challenge, but we've learned and we've had enough experience now in business to know what it takes mm-hmm. and know what needs to happen. So we've learned from that. But if you're just starting out, I think no plan B.
Yep.
And it's hard. And just you go all in and put all the chips in the center of the table.
Yeah.
So And then the next one is point is self-education and soaking up knowledge.
I was in, if you want to be successful, you never stop learning, right?
And I think today, like, there is more opportunity for self-development than ever before. Like us 20 years ago, we didn't have podcasts. We didn't have I think we had a flip phone. I don't even know if we had a flip phone. It was like there was no internet on your phone. There was a total different day and age. And so to think about the education you can get just from podcasts like this, or I listen to tons of podcasts traveling, or I listen to audiobooks driving now. There's so much you can learn.
Yeah, there's so much you can learn. But also it also makes you be a positive and optimistic person as well. It puts you in the right state of mind.
So I recommend reading at least one book a month. And on something on self-development or business or something in your industry, or just a self-improvement book or self-development. Like you said, positive. It could be just improving yourself, because if you improve different areas of your life, it has an impact on your business and on your career. Attend webinars and seminars. I know during COVID, a lot of that stuff got sent, but there's a lot of online stuff and online learning that's being taken place. But never stop improving. So I think, for us personally, we've had some goals of, you and I are constantly trying to improve our relationships, our spiritual life, our business, and our health.
Right.
And you and I have made it like goal that every month, every week, we're trying to just move the dial just a little bit in those four areas. And so it's never stop. Never stop improving.
Be a student for life.
Let's see. And the fifth point was surround yourself with like-minded people. This is a good one too, especially when you're young. So talk.
Yeah, it's important to surround yourself with uplifting people that, are going to help you thrive and grow as a person, right? And starting off, I think when we, as young entrepreneurs, you and I, we didn't have kids for one, but we used to go to investor meetup groups, and we used to go to just any type of meetup groups, even for moms, like mom meetup groups or fitness meetup groups, just being involved and getting involved with individuals that have the same goals as you do is important, right?
I like how you always take the positive aspects to everything. So I'm gonna bring in the negative, but I'm the negative and she's the positive. We're the yin and the yang.
That's why we balance each other out.
So I'm gonna talk about the negative people in your life. Like, you gotta really, really guard yourself. Especially when you're young, because when you go out there and you're going to say, "Oh, I'm going to go start my business or do that,"
there's going to be the haters out there, people that don't agree with you.
And so, you want to not surround yourself with people like, not hang out with people like that. They might be your best friends. Mm-hmm. You got to really be careful, and you've heard that saying many times that the five people that you surround yourself the most are the people you're going to be like.
Yeah.
And so be very careful about that. And, this is something that, so Joni and I have always been really guarded with that. I think her and I take approach of, we like to go deeper in relationships rather than quantity. Mm-hmm. So we would rather have deeper relationships with a very small, limited amount of people and go deeper with them and give, because we only have a limited amount of time outside of work. And her and I and our kids, Joni and I have very, very limited. And so the time we do get out and able to spend with other people.
We have a core group of who we go to for that.
Yeah. But those are people that are going to grow us, business-wise, are going to grow us, spiritual, fitness, or usually one of those aspects. Yeah. So be very careful. Watch who you surround yourself with. Find new friends if you need to. Sometimes it hurts sometimes it's family, and not saying that you'd cut them out of your life, but you might want to limit that time with them. So just guard yourself against it. And, for starting young too, that was difficult for Joni and I was it seemed like we were always ahead of our curve.
Yeah.
And so we've always constantly hung out with people that are
a lot. Yeah. Older. It was hard for us to find. We were playing, I remember, meeting this couple in Albuquerque that we got along with, you know, had the same interests, and we were playing board games. Remember Robert Kiyosaki's cash flow board game?
Yeah.
You know, that was like, that was our weekend. That was our Saturday night, right?
Yeah. And they were like 10 years older than us. So it was different. And it's still to date, I would say, I would say 5 to 10 years older, mm-hmm. majority of our core group. Mm-hmm. And so it is what it is. So, because a lot of times, and when you're in your, early 20s, you might not find that those type of people that have that same, wanting to improve themselves or get ahead or start a business. So, and then the next point was keep the child alive within you.
Yeah.
So, what do you got to that?
My point on that is continue to have fun and enjoy the process.
Yeah, and it's good. Enjoy the journey. Appreciate mm-hmm. the struggles. Appreciate the challenges. Have fun.
Yeah, I mean, I love coming into the office every day. You know, there's always a new challenge, and I love motivating my team. And if you've seen any of our, Facebook lives or anything like that, we're always having fun, and it's because we want them to enjoy it as well.
Correct. So I think if it's not fun anymore and you're dreading coming in, it's mm-hmm. probably time for either a career change or time to sell the business and move on to something else. So, and I just had a couple additional, thoughts and points that I wanted to share. Is some things that I would have done probably differently when I was starting out was so Joni and I bought our first house when we were 19. We would buy a house, fix it up, live in it while we were fixing it mm-hmm. up, and then every couple of years we would sell it and then move to the next. Something I would have done differently, I think it works, and that's an option for you, but I would have probably bought like a duplex or fourplex, lived in one unit,
and
rented the other ones, mm-hmm. Helped build out another down payment, build up another down payment mm-hmm. with work and the cash flow from the property, and then do it again. And I would have probably built and accumulated my portfolio. I would have had my portfolio a lot earlier if I would have done a model like mm-hmm. that. And so while you don't have the kids and you don't need the big yard or you don't mind living next to somebody and you don't need a house, I think that's a great way to grow your portfolio quicker. So that's something I always give recommendations to people starting out. Don't go buy the house, go buy the asset mm-hmm. and live in that for a while and then trade up. What else do I have? Live below your means longer and invest more of your earned income back into business or asset. Consistently invest so much per year regardless. And so just, again, going back to live below your means, mm-hmm. invest heavily while you're young as much as you can. And don't be scared to take a little bit more risk when you're younger. I think you have the opportunity to recover if mm-hmm. you make a mistake where maybe you lose everything. And hopefully you don't. I mean, but if you have a lot more time on you to recover or mm-hmm. to rebound back and rebuild it and learn from all that, and then rebound quicker than starting later in life when you have kids and all that and more. But these are just some points and some strategy that I think will help.
Yeah, everybody. I think it's good. And for to close on that, I encourage our young entrepreneurs to challenge yourself. Like you said, take risk. Believe in yourself and surround yourself with good people that get you and take action, right?
Awesome. Well, we'll conclude with that on a positive note.
Always positive.
Joni's bringing the positivity. Keep it positive. So I hope everybody has a great week. Please subscribe, like this, share it. Love to grow it. And if you know somebody that is in the younger generation and that's looking, maybe they can get this advice and help them build their business or career, please share it with them. So we'll stay tuned for next week, and we'll see you then.
Have a great week.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking, but Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at insidethewolfsden.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.